Faithful. Awesome. I was able to hold my grandson this week for the first time. I still remember holding Joanne for the first time in North York Hospital as a father. Something broke inside of me. Something changed deep inside of me. I feel the same as I held my grandson for the first time. And it just shows the heart of God. I mean, I'm getting a glimpse of what the heart of a father is. But that little boy has captured my heart. It's great to have held that little boy. I was watching Emo lead in worship. Emo, I was just bringing back memories of all these years. Emo used to be in the corner of the stage playing the little bongos. Pauline, you remember? And Pauline used to go to his Jesse's house and teach Emo how to play the drums and get the beats right. And there was Uncle David. But Emo, thank you for your faithfulness. You really appreciate it. Appreciate it. That's, you've done that to the Lord, you know. I'm going to share something that God has placed in my heart. It's not a 5 steps to prosperity or anything like that. As you get older, you strip away a lot of things. And you come down to the crux of what it really is. And as I look at the young people, I just want to share my heart on a particular topic that God has been dealing with me. And I pray you'll capture this message more than just listening to this message. Because I feel as you get older, you go deeper. And so let me jump into the message that I have in my heart. There's a possibility I might go over 30 minutes. I've told my team, but they're going to come in and play the keyboard. Let's see how I handle that. The book of Revelation, if people can put the projector PowerPoint, that's great. You know, the book of Revelation is an awesome book. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, if you have your Bibles or iPads or iPhones, if you can open, it'll be great. You know, Revelation, the book of Revelation itself is a beautiful book. And in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy." So when you have something like that, grab it and read this book, because you're going to be blessed. It's very simple. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. And going down, you know, in verse 10, this is John in the island of Patmos, and he's having an encounter with God. And it says, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." Can you imagine being in the spirit on the Lord's day? And today is the Lord's day. And I ask the question, are you in the spirit? Or do you want the worship team to get you into the spirit? And I want to challenge you. As you come to the house of the Lord, I want you to be in the spirit. In fact, I pray that every moment, every day, that you will be in the spirit. Because the hand of flesh will fail you. But there's something about walking in the spirit of the Lord. John is in the island of Patmos, and he says, "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day." And then he has an encounter with God, and he explains that encounter with God. It's so beautiful. You know, in verse 12, verse 13, he says, "The one like the Son of Man." In verse 14, he explains what he saw. His head and hair was white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flames of fire. His feet was like fine brass. His voice as the sound of many waters. In his right hand he had the 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Ha! Can I urge you, you and I can have visions of the Lord. You and I have been called to live in the supernatural realm. We have been called to live in the heavenly realms. And then, of course, God says, "Do not be afraid." In verse 17, "I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and is dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and death." Powerful. And one of the things in this particular chapter, he says this, you know, in verse 11, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. Here, John is in the island of Patmos, and he's been given a mandate to write a letter to the seven churches. And chapter 2 and chapter 3, if you go into it, you'll find there's a message that he writes to the seven churches. Are you with me till now? I didn't get an amen or anything like that. He writes a message to seven churches. It's interesting, in the there's a format in which he writes these letters. I pray that I'm just giving you a little bit of a taste of this particular book. He writes a letter in the beginning of the letter. He says who his God is. Into the church in Ephesus, is he who holds the seven stars in the right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. In the second particular church, he says, to the first and the last who was dead and came to life. He introduces God in different ways. And then he comes in with a message for each of the churches. Each of the churches, he has a message, something like, you've lost your first love. You've become lukewarm. You walked away from certain doctrines. He says you've tolerated that woman Jezebel. So there's different messages that is written, different forms in which he introduces who God is. But this morning I want to talk about one simple phrase, and that's a message I have. And I feel God has been dealing with me, and I pray he will deal with you. There's one phrase that comes to all the seven churches. He repeats that phrase again and again and again. And if he does that, there should be some importance, isn't it? Can I get an amen? Amen. Are you guys with me? Here's he's writing to the seven churches. And all the seven churches, there's a particular phrase that he repeats again and again and again. And that particular phrase is, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. I've given you all the references in the first slide. You can go to the next slide. The phrase is, to him who overcomes, I will give you. And he gives some tremendous promises. Stay with me. Stay with me. Today's message is not a hyped up message. Today's a message that can transform your life completely. God is not looking to him who's in the worship team. To him who has a beautiful voice, to him who can preach, to him who can cast out demons, to him who can heal. No, he doesn't say that. To him who overcomes, I will give you. I will give you. Not to the one who's got the charismatic gifts, not to the one who wants to be in the stage, not to the one who can draw the people, but to the one who overcomes, I will give you. I want to say God is in a good mood today. And I mean it. I've been in prayer and I really believe. I saw a liquid fire on the altar today. And I feel God wants to give his people some powerful things. We can go to another level in anointing. We can go to another level in authority. You can go to another level in intimacy with God, and God wants to give it to us. Can I get an amen? One of the things that stagnant water stinks. And I pray you and I will not be in stagnant water. The God I worship is real. He's awesome. He's wonderful. But he says, to him who overcomes, I will give you. I will give you. In my 40 years of my ministry and knowing my God, I've seen some tremendous moves of God. I remember when Sheila and myself went to, after we got married, we went to Andaman Islands, and we were in a small group of people from an EU background. They love the Lord. EU is one of the groups of people that used to meet in India. They love the Lord, but they didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They're not against it, but they were never taught anything about it. And I remember sitting there, and we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I talked about the gift of tongues. And the people who didn't believe, people who never known anything about it. And the Lord said, every one of them will be filled with the Holy Spirit and they will speak in tongues. That is a promise that he gave and he fulfilled. By the end of the meeting, everyone there spoke in tongues. I sense this morning there's a corporate anointing for healing. I sense there's a corporate anointing to move into a realm that you've not gone before. I will give you. I'll give you. And I know many of you here have overcome. I look at Sheila. Sheila's gone through a lot. Even as a pastor, even as a mother, as a wife, definitely. She's gone through and she has overcome. She's not let go. I look at people like Jesse. I look at people like Emo. I look at many people, Pauline there, David, and the list goes on. I tell you, there's something about not letting go to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. I will give you. I will give you. There's three things I won't have enough time to dig into it, but I pray you will dig into it. God says, I'll give you. I'll give you. And I'll get into some of the things that promises that he's stating. Powerful. Powerful. But it's given to one who overcomes. Not to one who plays around. Plays church. And sticks around as knows what to do. God says, no, I'm not going to give that person. He might act. And he can fake Christianity. He can fake the anointing. You can do it with the lights and the sounds and the everything else. But there is something about getting things from God. He says, I'll give it to the one who overcomes. And Church of the Rock, I want to give you this message. And I pray that it'll get ingrained into your life. There is a place that God wants to give. What does he want from us? He wants us to give up. He wants us to give up. There is a place that you and I has to become overcomers. Are you with me? Are you with me? Let me move on. Let me move on to a few things that I want to share. Go to the next slide and the one after that too. There are different things that we need to overcome. There are different aspects in our life we need to overcome. And one of the things is, what do you do when storms come? What do you do when storms come? And I tell you, I struggled when the storms hit me and I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to preach. I was angry with the church. I was angry with the people in the church. I was bitter. I was upset. And there was a place I had to overcome. I had to deal with the storms in my life. And a lot of times from the pulpit we hear, including myself, we talk about prosperity. We talk about God meeting our needs and doing certain things in our life. But there are stages in our life where we go through storms where God is in the storm. And the question becomes, how do I deal with the storms? Am I a man and a woman who continues to pray? Am I a man and a woman who gets that worship song going, get that guitar out and start worshiping God when nobody's around? Am I that person who looks at the word of God and say, God, thank you for this word of God. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor. Storms do come. Storms do come. And I pray you and I will be men and women who will know how to overcome storms. And a lot of times we blame someone else. We get into a fighting mode. We get into, I need to see some blood. And I want to see some blood from someone else. I'm going in for a fight. I fight with my neighbors. I fight with my people close to me. I fight with God. But this morning I pray that you and I will know how to handle the storms in our lives. And I want this to sink in. I want this to sink in. Some of us say, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to be in fellowship anymore. I don't want to go to Bible studies anymore. I give up. We give up so easily. But I tell you, there's something about becoming an overcomer. To him who overcomes. In Revelation chapter 21 verse 7, it says, to him who overcomes, I give him everything. I give him my inheritance. He gives a blanket promise and says, I'll be his God and they will be my people. To who? To one who overcomes. Not the one who knows the Bible by heart. Not the one who preaches. Not the one who does all those things. To one who's in the middle of the storm saying, I'm the person who will overcome. I'll sing praises to your God. I'll worship you, God. I love the word of God. Though men slay me, yet will I trust you. God is looking for overcomers. Go to the next slide. You'll find Elijah is one of the persons I love. He's one of the crazy prophets whom I love. You find in chapter 17 and chapter 18, he brings down fire and he brings down rain. He raises a child from the dead. He takes care of a widow. He feeds a widow. Ravens come and feed him. He kills 450 prophets of Baal. He challenges the people of Israel. He stands up against Ahab, who's the worst king. Here's a guy who does some crazy things. But 1 Kings chapter 19, he's running for his life. He's running for his life. Jezebel just tells him, I'll make you like one of the prophets you killed. The guy could have just turned around and spoken to Jezebel, and Jezebel would have run for her life. He could not overcome. He could not overcome. What does he say? Take my life. Take my life. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Have you said, take my life? Have you gone through a place where you're in the pit of hell saying, I don't want anything to do with life? Does the enemy hit you? Yes, he does. But God is looking for overcomers. God is looking for men and women who will say, I will overcome this. He runs to a cave and hides inside a cave. Here's a prophet, a man of God and a woman of God who would have turned around and looked at Jezebel straight into the eyes and spoken the word of God. He doesn't do it. Can I say something? If it can happen to Elijah, it can happen to your life and my life. And my prayer is that you will not be the best worship leader. And I'm not against worship leading, please. That's one of the greatest ways in which we can serve God. But beyond all that, the crux of it is you and I can walk into another level of authority, another level of anointing, another level of power when you and I know how to overcome. You know, it's funny, to Elijah, God says, God does not have a pity party. He gives him a chance. The angels come and feed him. The angels come and tell him, get some sleep. What does he do? He runs away. God asks him twice the same question. What are you doing here? I wonder whether that's a question for somebody who's hiding in a cave today. The world can label you different ways. The doctors can label you in different ways. But God is looking for overcomers. God is looking for overcomers. God is looking for overcomers. What happens to Elijah? His mandate was taken off. He says, done. It's done. You want to run? Run. The mandate is taken off. I'll tell Elijah to take over. I'll take King Jehu. He will go and kill Jezebel. Your time is done, Elijah. You have a place in heaven, but your job is finished. Because you let that woman Jezebel get over you. I don't know what's getting over us. Go to the next slide. You find many men and many women of God who knew how to overcome. Look at Jesus. You know, here he is. Luke chapter 5, the baptism takes place. And the Spirit of the Lord falls upon him. God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." That's open heavens. The very next verse in Luke chapter 4, he's sent into the wilderness. For 40 days, all hell is let loose upon him. All hell is let loose upon him. Sometimes we don't hear messages about becoming an overcomer. And it's a place where all hell is let loose. Can I touch on one thing? I spoke about the storms in your life that you need to overcome. Can I talk about sin? Will you allow me to talk about it? And as I talk about it, I talk about even keeping myself in that place. You know, when he's there with Satan, Satan says, "Look at all the kingdoms. I will give it unto you if you worship me. If you just worship me." Try and read Romans chapter 12 at some point. It says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." That's the last words in Romans chapter 12. And it starts by saying, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. I do want to say, you know, I somehow, culture does not dictate holiness. The Word of God dictates the standard of the Lord. Can I get an ouch? If you do not, you and I, do not know how to fall in line with the standard of the Lord, don't expect God to move in and through your life. It will not happen. You and I can fake it. Would you allow me to talk about this? The righteous will be bold as a lion. You and I can be bold as a lion when we walk in righteousness. And there's areas in our life where today's society, even society within the church, allows and it says it's okay. And I'm talking as myself who is a sinner. And I'm struggling. But there is something about handing it over to God and saying, "God, here am I. Here am I." And I challenge you, there is a power in walking victoriously before God. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Go to the next slide. You know, Romans chapter 12, we look at that particular chapter. It talks about giving your bodies as a living sacrifice. Then he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know, let him who prophesy. Let him who serve, let him serve well. And can I challenge each one of you, especially on this anniversary service, can you give yourself over to the work of the Lord? Don't give leftovers. I tell you one of the things, don't function in ministry from a comfort zone. Don't function to give to God what the end of the whatever is available. And I challenge you with this as being an overcomer, as a person who loves God and wants to serve God. It is a very different lifestyle. If it doesn't affect eternity, think very carefully, where am I spending my time? And where should I be spending my time? I know it's It's funny. I can tell you about my own personal life. Many, many stages in my life. And God had to deal with me. I come from a family which is very, very close. I love my mom and dad. And I had to look at my family at some point and say, I will not serve my family, I will serve God. And if it's cost me to deny my family completely, so be it. I had to look at my finances and say, I will not serve finances, I'll serve my God. So choices in my life will not be dealt with by finances, but dealt with the voice of God. I had to look at my time. Coming to Canada, I had to look, time was more important than money. So I had to look at my every single thing that I do, look at my time, when I could be doing so many other things. If it doesn't affect eternity, if it's not in line with God, my time will not be invested there, it'll be invested here. You become an overcomer. You become an overcomer. What happens when you overcome? I'll leave a few specific things, the promises that God's giving us. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Go to the next slide. To him who overcomes. And I pray that each one of you can dig into it. Pauline, I pray you'll dig into this. You know, where he says, to him who overcomes, I will give you hidden manna. I'll give you hidden manna. I wish I can speak on this for a long time. I wish we had a Bible study where we can sit and talk. Manna in this particular context talks about the word of God. It talks about the breaking of the bread. It talks about, you know, he introduces God in this particular passage as a person who's got a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. He talks about doctrines. And then he says, I'll give you the hidden manna. Hidden manna is a revelation that comes from the word of God. To him who overcomes, I'll give you a revelation from the word of God that will just blow your mind. And it's not a theological college that you go to and you hear a hidden manna. It is something that will transform your life. My life has been transformed again and again and again when I get that hidden manna hits me. And the revelation comes. Your life will not be the same. Your whole life turns around. It turns completely around. But it comes to one who overcomes. And I pray you and I will be overcomers every day. Can I get amen? We will live a life of overcoming. We will live a life where choices come to us, where I can be upset that I'm single. I can be upset I'm not able to pay this bill. I can be upset, but I choose to be an overcomer. I come here and say, God, I praise you. I give you glory. I am an overcomer. I don't let the systems of this world lead me. I say, God, I'm here. I'm an overcomer, and to him overcomes. As I go and sit before the Lord, God says, I'll give you hidden manna. And I tell you that hidden manna has taken me to nations. That hidden manna has taken me to places where I've never gone. Hidden manna made me invest in things I never knew I could invest. God has been my accountant. God has been my investment broker. He knows me. And through the word of God, through the hidden manna and through revelation, he speaks to me. I can look into the eyes of people before they come. I know so-and-so is coming. I know this is what I need to speak to this particular person because I've had the hidden manna hidden inside of me. The power of hidden manna is so powerful. It is given to one who overcomes. If you're eating fast food, it's nothing compared to hidden manna. If you're eating second-hand food, people teach you these things. It's nothing compared to the hidden manna. But there is something about a person who overcomes and who's sitting with God and gets the hidden manna. I'll give him that hidden manna. In the same words, he says, you know, I'll give him a white stone. And on that white stone, a new name will be written that only he will know. I'll tell you something about, you know, about that particular aspect. Can you imagine God calling you by a new name? It's given to one who overcomes. As you sit with God, God says, I'm going to call you, not Abraham, but I'm going to call you Abraham. I know you don't have any children, but you're going to be a father of nations, Abraham. He gives you a name and it calls your destiny. He calls you warrior, woman, arise. To one who overcomes. A new name, Peter. You'll no longer be called Simon, a sand that starts around. You'll be the rock. You'll be Petros. On this rock, I'll build my church. The whole destiny of a person is changed with a name being called and a name being given. And God says, I'll give you a new name. Come on. Silver and gold cannot buy this. It is bought and it's given to people who overcome. Powerful. As you go into the Word of God, as you sit with God, you know, the things that God has for you and me is so powerful. But it's given to one who overcomes. Talks about, I'll make you a pillar in the house of the Lord. Not a caterpillar, but a pillar. You know, what do the pillars do? They hold the weight of the house. The pillar dictates how big and how large that house can be. God says, I will make you a pillar. Come on. You will dictate terms on how this temple is going to be built. I will make you a pillar to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. I pray even today. I know some of you have gone through hard times. I look at Veena, and Veena has gone through struggles in her life and choices you made and saying, I will be an overcomer. I will not let things around me dictate terms. And many of you here have taken choices, and I pray your lifestyle, you live a lifestyle as that of an overcomer. That you're not given. You will not give in. Your friends will say it's okay. Society will say it's okay. And say, no, not for me. Not for me. You know when to walk away. You know when to say no. You know when to speak in tongues. You know, there's something about the pride of life. You know, I don't want to dig into that a lot, but I pray you deal with the pride of life. When you get offended, it's your pride that's getting offended. Deal with it. Deal with it. Watch what words come out of your mouth. Watch what attitudes come out of your mouth. And you become an overcomer saying, no, that will not take place in my life. I die to that. I always think of, you know, Peter taking the sword and cutting off this ear of the soldier who came to arrest Jesus. Jesus takes that ear and heals the guy and tells Peter, put back that sword. And I urge you, put back that sword. Put back that sword. Put back that sword. Come before God and say, God, I want to be an overcomer. I want to close with the last slide. Last two slides, maybe. How do I become an overcomer? And I'll give you one word. One word. I know you can write a book about it, and I'm sure you can. But I'm giving you one word. It's abide. Can you lock maybe 9:30 to 10:30 every night? It's my time with God. If you're not a morning person and if you're an evening person, you lock it. And you say, no, I don't give that time to anyone else. Nobody has right over that time. It's locked. 9:30 to 10:30 is my time to abide with God. And I say, Shakara Mananira, put on that worship song if you're like me. And say, yeah, God, here am I. Get the word of God and spend that hour abiding with him. There's no easy way out. There's no McDonald's where you can do a fast drive-through with God and get things and walk away. It doesn't work that way. It's something about abiding with God. And it's not a choice. I'm telling you, if you do not know how to do this, you'll never be an overcomer. You're faking it. You're just living life. And you're missing out. I'm missing out. If I don't know how to do this. Steph Curry is a beautiful three-point shooter. Especially with all that's going on in the NBA Finals. And you see is how he takes a step back and how he shoots so powerfully. And he hits those 3 points from deep. He changed the game completely. But for a minute, if you were to think that Steph Curry's hand is just chopped off. And something happened and his hand is chopped off. There's no more Steph Curry. There's no more basketball. There's no more three-point shooting with Steph Curry. As long as that hand was connected to the body, he was the greatest three-point shooter The day that hand is cut off, Steph Curry is no more. He's just like another person. And that's what God says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're not abiding, if you're not connected to the vine, if the branch is not connected to the vine, you're nothing. You're nothing. For some time, that branch might hold the fruits, and you might think, oh, the fruit is still there. No, it's going to die soon. This is not a choice. And as you abide with God, as you stay with God, things change. Go to the last slide. Can I have the water, Ma? I like that picture, the tipping point. Thank you. I want to give you a chance today to make a decision. End of the day, it's you. You got to make a choice. For me, there were many tipping points in my life where I made a decision. God, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. Doesn't matter if that egg falls, whether it breaks, it doesn't break. It's a tipping point. It's a tipping point in your life. Where you can choose and saying, I want control over my life. I'm not going to be an overcomer. Or you can say, God, this is it. This is it. Nothing will overcome me. I give my life to you. We're going to do two things very quickly. I have the communion elements here. One of the negative things about being a Christian for years and generations, you go through certain rituals very lightly. But I want to bring in the communion elements today. For anyone who wants to say, God, I want to give my life away. I want to give you a chance to come and partake of the elements. But I also want to warn you. You know, there's a warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if I'm right. He says, if anyone partakes of these elements in an unworthy manner. It talks about some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you have died. Because this is a costly, powerful thing. When God went through that tipping point and said, I'm yours, God. When you and I partake of this element, we take a place and say, God, I give myself away. I want to be an overcomer. And the other side of it, when you do this, become a very different person. I will give you. God says, I will give you. When you come to the table of the Lord and you say, God, I'm giving myself away. I've struggled being overcoming many things in my life. And I'm gonna start that new life for God of becoming an overcomer. God says, I will give you. I will give you. I said about a corporate healing taking place. Especially, I felt from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse I think it's 6 or 7, it says, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. God is giving a sound mind for many of you. I feel there's a clogging. I feel there's in fact, it's attacked the destiny of God in your life. And you're not able to move into the destiny of God because there's a clogging of your mind. But God says, this morning as you come in, I give you a sound mind. I give you a sound mind. I felt in my spirit while I was praying this morning that some of you have tried to put your hands in many things and it's not working. But God says, no, I'm going to give you. That which you put your hands to shall prosper. It will prosper. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. As the worship team is coming, I grab hold of one other person. And can you just pray for one another? Even before I open it up to have communion. Just grab hold of one person who's sitting next to you and say, God, make me an overcomer. Just call to God in line with what I've spoken this morning. Go ahead and just pray. Jesus. Jesus. Karabasha Ramana Nina Nanaka. Shikeramana Nana Nanaka. Karabasha Ramana Nina Nanaka. Karabasha Kalamana Nina Nanakara. Jesus. Just cry out to God. Just look to God. Come on, come on. Can this be the tipping point in your life? To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.